Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbuck. With me, Rick Shapiro.
And I'm Rick Shapiro.
We met one time. You were on episode 68 of Highway Diary about 2 years ago. Little to no memory of it. Did it in Los Angeles.
I never remember who your friends are.
That's important.
Yeah, I'm but, run over so many phonies. I thought they were the real friends. You're a real person, smart. I didn't know you could be a real friend.
We've been having a good time. We went to Popeyes. We went to Deanie's Seafood today. Having some good times. You're in town shooting a movie, Heart Baby, about boxing. You're like a cornerman.
Yeah, I'm the cornerman.
How's it going?
It's going great. Like, a lot of stories. You know, like, it's amazing to show up as a smart comedian, as someone who uses his instrument instead of just goes for the dough. And then you're in a situation, you're not just coming up with cheap jokes, you're seeing humanity and certain absurdities, and as comedians we like to, what people would say, dwell on something, and we really ponder, we really go like, why would you have your kid grow up to be a dull, good, great-looking kid? You should smash his nose, and then he starts to have to use his personality, and ugly will be the new good-looking.
So there's a lot of pretty boys on the set of Heart Baby is what I'm saying. I don't want to cause any kind of controversy, any kind of trouble with you and the cast or anything, but...
Yeah, they're faggots. they're little shiny wax cunts.
Okay.
They're body wax legs. You know, they should let hair grow all over the place. People should start being ugly again because you're killing America, you're killing talent, you're killing inspiration. Good-looking people are the new fucking Kafkas. Hundreds of Kafkas running around. But they don't look at their own experience. So they miss that they're in the labyrinth and they drag us in there too because it's harder and harder to break away and be like, no, I ain't you. I know you get the money. I know you get the better job. I know America rewards you and every dumb guy and dumb girl and every smart guy. Smart people are in so much pain and despair now that they take a good-looking girl like a pill. They go, oh, give me her, and at least I'll numb out. I'll eat her ass like it's a domino slice. Can I get this transcribed? This is better than what I'm on stage.
Yeah, I'll have it. I'll have it all written up for you. do you have any bronzer? Do you have any?
That's funny. Should I tell that story?
Yeah.
Should I?
I think it speaks to what you're talking about.
Yeah, these guys, the minute you say you have a unique or an individual thought or idea, the minute. And that's like a cliche, too, when people bitch about it. They go, the minute you have an individual thought or idea, it's like, no, I'm talking about the minute you hear, you allow, your strong, clear part of you drops out of your mouth and you're amazed by yourself, they can't handle that. Because they think they're in awe of themselves, but they're really just picking at invisible zits in the mirror. You think they love themselves, these good-looking, waxed, tan people, you know? They're really looking at zits that aren't there, hairs that aren't there, and then they go like, okay, good for another day. But I forgot what I was talking about. But I think you get the point.
The bronzer.
So I said something that was unique and clear. You know, I improvised, whatever they call it. And you could see, like, really them duck their heads, like a thought hit them, and they had to duck. They look like three ducks lowering their head, like, oh, here comes a human spitting on us, you know? and they look like three ducks in a row. And the guy turns around, and they were talking about how they're on, one's on Twilight and how great-looking the cast is. And he turns around to me, he goes, I have this bronzer. All of a sudden, he, like, went into a zone. He just goes, his eyes went dead. And he goes, it's the lizard people. And he goes, I have this bronzer, this tanning bronzer that gets. I said, what? I have this tanning. I said, do you seriously? You're joking, right? That's for funny. You're talking about. And I even said, like, that's funny. You're talking about tanning bronzer. I was gonna say, keep doing the character. It's interesting. And then he goes, no, I'm saying I have this bronzer. I said, do you know me? I said, do I look like the kind of guy that would engage in a conversation about bronzer. Engage in a conversation where there's no engagement. There's just mental dismemberment. I mean, I said, do I look like a guy who would... And he says, No, I'm just saying it's good inside, you know, but as soon as I get outside, I say, wait, you're seriously going to continue talking about bronzer? And he goes, no, I'm just saying it sticks to my face more. You can feel it when you're outside. Mm-hmm. What am I, like his fat whore? He's happy to be with his oiled dick?
Yeah. Just whatever dumb fucking blathering you're saying.
I said, I'm not interested.
Right.
What, was
right.
he trying to fuck my vagina because he has one? He assumes all men are pussy carrying pussies.
So what you're saying is
what bothers me more is he plays the badass in the film,
right.
And the other guy plays it's a true story. The other guy plays the guy who was the toughest kid, you know, the tough motherfucker, and they're both Q-tips.
Right.
I should be playing. I guess not. I should, but I'm prepared for those parts.
Right. You should do all the roles.
Yeah.
Put Shapiro in different mustache formations.
Sure. That's the truth. I mean, if Al Pacino played two roles in a film, that'd be great. But they don't see that, and he doesn't say anything. The fact is, why can't a great actor play all the parts?
Right.
That'd be great.
Nutty Professor it up.
If Tyler Perry can ruin everything she touches by just putting on a pair of glasses and a fat suit and no energy, just because God is on her side and she's more righteous than all of us, all she had to do is be like, hi, I'm an old woman. Now I'm her uncle. No, I'm her other uncle. He doesn't change his voice or anything.
They all talk the same. Oh, Lord. And then when he's like playing a dude, he's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ, man.
You've seen his stuff.
It's
really
brutal.
Awful.
But, you know, yeah, if you played
but
all
when
the
you're
parts,
so into God, how much energy could you have for the work? When you give all your energy to God. There's really no energy for the work, but it's understandable because it makes you righteous.
We're kind of bouncing around here. You know what I am fascinated by? The favorite story you told me, maybe at Popeye's yesterday, was...
Why'd you say we're kind of bouncing around here?
Well, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, is that funny?
you're a smart rule.
You don't have a rule in your head.
Well, I in the back of my head, I was trained like improv, so I'm always thinking structure. Scene A, scene B, scene C. That was scene A. Now let's... Okay, so we're doing... established the movie thing. But you've led a tremendously interesting life.
It's so great watching you try to DJ this whole thing. Like,
I'm trying to wrangle it.
Explain to Rick while getting him on the mark so we can continue.
Do you know where the mark is?
Meanwhile, showing how your brain works is the intriguing part. That's why we don't have to say, I understand with all that we're bouncing around. To the normal eye, what they're fed is you would have to say this is bouncing around.
Right.
But really, they're right in it. Some people know to go, it's like a... To make it American, it's like a splash park. What do they call it? A water park. Where you go, wherever the water takes you, wherever the lanes are open.
Right.
And so they have to go like, I'm going to part A or B or C of the slide.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I've lived my whole life wrong. But you were telling me a fascinating story.
Actually, that'll happen to me later on. I'll wake up and go like, I haven't been linear when I'm 80 years old. I wasn't linear.
Oh, wow. You're going on one of your famous rants.
Yeah.
That
was a three-word rant.
Oh, I'm doing a pandered rant.
Yeah,
excuse me.
About that.
Everyone step back. I'm being spontaneous.
Yeah. That's so great. Yeah, that's what you should do. Anybody out there, if you see the word rant, put the word C over R. When you hear a comedian, start standing up to comedians instead of just accepting what you're spoon-fed. Starts getting up to me like, when a guy says rant, you go, about what? Injustice in society? No, about how girls wear toe rings. Well, how come they don't wear toe rings anymore? Fucking toe rings? Just the girl's toe ring came into my mind.
Speaking of girls, their toe rings, you told me you had a therapist who was a disbarred therapist. The best kind. The only one you can trust is one who said some hardcore shit that the medical establishment was not cool with. And he was like, listen, are you into like super hot pussy or whatever? Okay, well, it's not that hard, but let me tell you what to do. What did he tell you?
He said, let me tell you, is it hot in here?
A little bit. I think the door being open is helpful.
At this floor, you don't want to stand there.
Oh, you're going to fart? I'm downstream? You said to record, you pee.
But I just farted.
Speaking of peeing, there's a comic called Xander Bielik in New Orleans. He's a great guy. And we were on the same pee schedule all night. Every single time I went in the bathroom, he's next to me. And we just look over at each other. The third time, we're pissing the exact same time. And I just go, buddy, we have to cross the streams now. And we just did. But I was
I said to my nephew.
Yeah, oh, yeah?
But I hit his head by accident.
He pissed on his head?
He came over to cross, and he hit my sneakers, and I hit his head. He hit my ankle bracelet.
Where were you, outside or in a big urinal trough?
Yeah, big urinal trough.
Okay.
That's where I met him. I pulled him out of a urinal trough, which they previously named the bar My Mother's Womb, or urinal trough.
Okay.
Man, the mind doth sew things together.
Whoa, we're doing it. You had a therapist. I want to get this part out. This is my favorite, one of my favorite stories of all time.
Really?
He was disbarred.
Yeah, he was kicked off. He was the head of a psychologist.
Was it like in a hospital? He was the head guy somewhere in a hospital?
No, he was the head of a board of where psychologists share information and all that. And
okay.
It was a big thing. And he was also in a biker gang. When he squared off with me and said, when he calmed everything down, he said, let me tell you something. He didn't act like a therapist. He goes, I was in the board of blah, 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 and I was rejected, kicked off of that.
Right.
I was in a biker. Oh, and I actually told them, I can't stand them. And I was in a biker gang, and I actually told them I couldn't stand them, and they kicked me out. And I was a member of the Jewish elite, intellectual elite, which is like a private thing nobody knows about. And he would always say it the same way. He would go like, he had curly hair over his eyes, the shaggy look, and a wrinkled up khakis. Just he didn't care. And his wife was a therapist next door. She was hot in her Hillary Clinton clothes at 38 or something. And she had the Oakwood and Tiffany lamp. He had an old Indian rug, crooked. And he goes, I was kicked off, and I told the Jewish people were all statusy. He goes, they were just statusy. They wanted to tell. They thought they were intelligent. They were self-congratulating. And they hated themselves at the same time. He goes, they were dull. They had no self-awareness. And he goes, but you, he goes, I had this weird feeling when you walked in the room. It was amazing. Nobody ever spoke to me like this in my life. He said, I felt honored when you walked in. He goes, I wasn't doing comedy then. I wasn't doing anything. He goes, I was not being able to hold on a job or any shit. And I said, for a guy to tell me, I said, why? He goes, that's how I felt. He goes, it's an honor to meet you. And he goes, he said something else, which every psychiatrist got mad. Every therapist got mad when I told him. He said, this. Well, I was complaining. I was just all confused, really lost. And he goes, look out the window. And it was over a piazza, like a plaza, a square. And it was all giant office buildings surrounding. So it was all people were rushing to go to work at that time. Mm-hmm. They were all going into the building. He goes, look out there. Look at all those people. He goes, just go and do it. I said, all right. He goes, they're lost. Nobody knows what they're doing. I know this as a therapist from the people that come into my office. I'm not supposed to tell you this. And I'm not allowed, but I wanted to tell you, nobody knows what they're doing. They're all got their hand on the wheel, going to work because I don't know. You know, they come into my office saying, I don't know. He goes, you're found. Everybody else is lost. And I told that to him, I was moved. And it cleared me up for a while because it wasn't about being better or worse. It was about something else. I couldn't put my finger on it. Now I know. It's about saying, I'm found. I trust my gut at any cost. I'd rather make big mistakes than not make them or small ones. And that's like a propaganda right there. Because we don't... It's more like, I found myself so much. I lived for the risk. You know, I went into comedy not thinking about the... I stopped thinking about the money and said, what's going on right now? I can't look at these people if they're not awake. And when I mean awake, I mean I care about them. And I want them to look like the thoughtful human being or the wild animal that they are or whoever that they are. And And I tell others, why can't we get on the track of I'm found, everybody else is lost? They go, excuse me. One guy said, excuse me? I said, that's what my favorite therapist told me. Oh, he said what? I said, I'm found and other people are lost. I mean, I'm not, by then I hadn't seen him for a few years. So I went like, I'm not saying it's true. You know, he had to qualify for these people and for these room for rationers. That's what these people with their high-end jobs, their souls to work with other people, they're just room for rationers. And the guy said you're we're all lost and you're found. Oh, that's interesting. I don't know if he's right. And I said, I think I called him a mama's boy or something. I told him once he was a mama's boy.
I think what he's saying is you're an original. You like live authentically.
Oh wow, I didn't even realize that. That's what he meant.
It's like everyone else, okay, imagine all those people in the skyscrapers going out of their buildings, going to their skyscraper apartments, going out of their skyscraper apartments, going in their skyscraper office. A lot of those people, I find, are living for other people. They're living to kiss their boss's ass, or they're living to kiss their wife's ass, and they never stop in and check, what do I want? What do I want, though? Because no one's asked them that, because other people are always telling them what to do. You have all these morons who are afraid of life telling each other what to do. And everyone who's afraid of life is leading. So it's like you got the blind leading the blind, you know?
And you feel like that's beautiful. I love when you say stuff like that. Do you feel, I'm choked up. Do you feel that? Or do you get that from what I said about him?
I see what he's saying. And
that's a fierce road to know.
Yeah,
it seems like you know about it. Do you know about that?
Well, I mean, living in New York City, what I felt is tremendously, you're very compartmentalized. That's how I felt, like I was in a cubicle, and then I had my little clothes in a smaller cubicle. Like a cabinet is an apartment for your clothes, right? And then it's like, okay, on the third shelf to the left, you know, and then where do you live? You live 13 floors up. Three to the left, you know.
My
shit
was all over the place. I took a giant bookshelf and nailed it to my ceiling.
Yeah,
and onto the side of the wall, crookedly, so I could put my jeans on the wall. So I don't know about that because you can throw your shit all over. And I pissed and stepped on my writings. You know, they were covering the floor. So I think I don't know what do you think.
I saw this movie Amadeus in grad school.
Like in L.A., It seems like in L.A., it would happen anywhere, but in L.A., the idea is to be swayed.
Right.
The idea is to only conform by looking like a cool faggot rebel. And when I say faggots, because I want to bring back the word, take it off the gaze and put on you. You. Not me, you.
The inauthentic.
That word, I love when people say that word, because I never knew the language for that. So I almost want to call it something else. Be truly metaphysical.
Right. Live in the spirit world and know that you can harness the metadata of the of life.
Find an 8-year-old who likes to hold balloons up in the air to hold your hand while you're in the stratosphere, and get her to do your accounting. Like, in other words, a girlfriend. That should be how the world is. Why is it right that the man makes the money, or the girl does too, the man and girl, but predominantly the man, or the girl does until, you know what I mean, until it's a certain point.
Right.
Why can't it be, what if we were all raised with, no, the idea is a man floats around the stratosphere and the girl is the breadwinner. It's been like that for 500 years. Well, why can't it be that?
Mm-hmm.
We say one is more right. Well, you know, but what if the idea was to be the slob yar or the genius yar or... And the person who's being authentic gets to go out with someone who's inauthentic, and they have to pay the bills because they don't mind because they're inauthentic. Because if you're authentic, you can't pay the bills.
No. So I got far too much on my fucking mind to think about that.
Wait, I have an idea. Don't interrupt the idea.
I'm nailing my bookcase to my ceiling. Yeah. Do you think I got time to
fuck? What you catch. I'm amalgamating. Read The Alchemist, then come back. And go ahead.
This is the life of an artist. It's almost like what you were talking about, all the other the actors who are all beautiful, and despite they're haunted by their beauty, because no matter how good looking these Twilight douchebags are, they're always going to think, you know, I have, if I had 5% more bronzer on my left temple, then I'd be good looking. You know what I mean? The higher they get towards perfection, the more their wings burn, you know? And that's great. They try to justify their existence by just their look, their presence.
Who's that? What's that from? What myth is that? The higher, the more
Icarus. Burn? Icarus, he flew too high to the sun. He made these beautiful wings out of wax. He flew too high to the sun. He melted his wings and he fell to his death.
How does a pretty person fly too high close to the sun?
By obsessing about their face.
Is that what Icarus did? He forgot where he was or something?
Yeah, yeah. He was just like, higher, higher. Oh, this is so fun. This is so beautiful. Look at my beautiful wax wings. What's that smell? Uh-oh. And then he's...
Wait, tell me the myth of Icarus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Specifically, because I got what you just said, but what is the myth there? Why can't a good-looking guy just be... Why would they fly too close to the sun?
I guess it's like, not only... He has to put makeup on. He has to adorn his face to the point where he's not even enjoying anything. That's him flying too high. It's like, he can never...
make, like, in the commercials, yeah. That always makes like they're having a romp. Right. They're just having a fucking romp. And you know when they finally show that Charlize Theron or whoever is on the beach and they're fat and fat's hanging over, and they never look happy that they're fat. They never go like, so when I'm fat, I'm still having a blast. They always look like they're bending over to pick something, you know, their sunglasses up, and they're irritated, like, you know, like they're stoned from being good looking and now they're just fat.
It's a hard fall from grace when they're known for their beauty and then it all goes in one day and they're not like, fuck you, I'm eating a cheeseburger. They're like, I'm miserable, I hate myself, I'm on vacation, oh my god, the servants aren't getting me martinis fast enough. They never enjoy themselves. They never live because they know what they want and they're getting it and they're having a good time. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the difference between authentic people and people that are only living in the image of other people's eyes for their approval.
I'm starting to get weird because I always had a great time not believing all the crap. And now, you get a little taste. I mean, all of a sudden, her family started to accept me. And we had a nice Thanksgiving. But then I'm on the phone. I believed it. I started to say, if I'm going to die in 20 years, hopefully, then it's time to... I looked at certain comedians that got rich, the ones I hung out with or knew, and they got rich. And little did I know, while I was concentrating on the next word, what's the next in the exploration... They had cars, they'd been traveling around the world, they started raising kids, now they have 4 kids. I'm like, wow, so you managed to go to Bahamas, like, and I was exploring on stage, but you were exploring in life, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, it looks good, lifestyle versus substance, like, it's a style, but you read about Albert Einstein and those people, like, yuppies had to tell me you can do both, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody, what am I saying? Like, that's so how I used to be, like, black and white. But everybody told me, artists, comedians, they go, why don't you go on a break? I'd be like, because I'm an artist. I'm not, you know, back then I believed those because I was, the only words I knew was what I was taught when I left home, so I believed it. Well, I'm not mediocre, so I won't go on vacation. Now I hate the word mediocre. It's like, you don't know where that person's from.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, but I love when other guys know it. They go, like, no, Rick, you forget getting. Mediocrity sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, what is mediocrity? Can you give me a definition of that? Because you're a smart guy, which is a rarity.
I would say like intensely average. You know,
if you're born that way, that's just human. But if it's a thing to do to get money, keep it mediocre, or be, have a part of you so repressed that you believe you hate the genius.
You know, it's interesting. The, you know, I was watching in school this movie called Amadeus, and it was about Mozart. And Mozart had a contemporary called Salieri, right? And Salieri. Okay, but I love this movie so much, and the what it said about art was fantastic. Where it's like Salieri was a very studied man. He had nice inkwell pens. The king loved him. He had a tremendous post. He was like the king's composer, and then Mozart came around, and he was a drunk, and he laughed too loud, and he was whatever. But when he played music, God damn it! I will never be as good as Mozart. this guy, this foolish buffoon.
And it's almost like he loved Amadeus. He fell in love with him when he heard the music.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just couldn't understand why he was skipped over.
Yeah. And he's like, and he cursed God. He's like, God, why did you give this buffoon your perfect word of music, you know?
But I gotta see that again.
Yeah.
I've seen that since I was a kid. I gotta see it. You ever see Farinelli?
No.
It's about castrated, beautiful men. They cut their balls off so they become the perfect opera singers.
Uh-huh.
And it's entrancing.
Yeah.
These beautiful men, and they have no, and he's in love, and the next day he's gonna be castrated. And he has to, for some reason. He has to, because that's what the king says, and he's the best singer in the world. So I've seen these beautiful songs, but he can't live.
It just
I'm wonderful.
It reminds me of a beautiful show pony actor who's like, I wish I could speak. I have this beautiful body, yeah, but I don't have the words in my head because
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
No, I never saw that till today, man. That I was a threat. People kept telling me when I was growing up through comedy, like, but you're a threat to people. And I'd be like, well, why would I? I don't know anything. I'm a naive person because part of me wasn't educated. You know, I was left alone. So I go, like, I take things very literally. Like, why am I a threat? I'm not threatening anyone.
Just your original.
Yeah, when I walked in today, I saw these guys. Yeah. I told Tracy, she goes, sounds like jealousy. And like, it was scared that the emperor had no clothes.
Right.
The masses had no clothes.
Right. If anyone hears me talk or tries to get me to have a real spontaneous moment like this guy, I'm going to fold because I'm actually a fucking idiot because I've been rewarded for just looking this way my whole career.
And the funny thing is we get to feel so great at times about it, so clear and alive, and they get to have the couches and the furniture and the avocados and the champagne.
Unbelievable.
But that, I hate when people talk to me like it's black and white. Because the truth is, you can have both. I don't care what anybody says. You can have 17 things. That's his history of black and white thinking. And this whole style thing. The TV star holding up a champagne with eight girls around him.
It's just psychology. You start to realize...
I'm going to jerk off with an ugly dick from now on. I'm going to go get me an ugly dick. Yeah, I'm going to jerk off in public like an ugly guy. I'm going to pick up girls and fuck them like an ugly guy.
As long as you're living authentically, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, all these therapists I see, especially in L.A., I never saw any... I saw two guys in New York and a woman. They never talked about healing. They never talked about any of that. It's just like, what do you want to do? Great. I'm fucking girls. I was so broke. I said, I'm fucking girls. Doing comedy, but I'm taking money out of their dressers so I can take cabs at night when they're not looking. I take money out of their purse. I said, that's awful. And he goes, this great guy, Alan Lefkowitz, he goes, you're fighting for your art. And these little things he said would hit me and open me up, like mm-hmm. raindrop on a flower, like a strong whiskey drop on a flower. And I'd be like, fuck. They didn't say things that wouldn't make me feel better, like, keep going, you're doing the best you can. That never hit me, but you're stealing for your art. I used to steal. I know what stealing means. And steal for your art.
It's almost not stealing, or it lessens the...
It's like we're supposed to use the money of the rich who don't put in... The money's supposed to go towards more thought and art and life. Okay. You're not supposed to take your money and put it into like the newest thing at IKEA and again, or a Target, a coffee maker, a third coffee maker. You're supposed to give it to people that feed the world. Philanthropists knew this. They knew where they were bored, where they had ennui and all that. And they said, let me feed.
You were also telling me that disbarred therapists would go into corporations and would kind of pull a hustle.
Yeah.
Like, you were a street hustler for a long time, so you smell a hustle. But what I realized... you want to tell that story?
It's so funny. I did it to eat, so I said, I don't smell a hustle. I do now after living in L.A., but not from the street. Just like, oh, my God, he's a fucking... This is what lying looks like. The mafia and all those guys told me the truth. If you fuck up, you're dead, and we're telling you everything, you don't get to fucking leave. But you know... So it took me years to realize that these people lie. These other people. But
Your therapist pulling a hustle on the corporation.
Oh, yeah, so he wouldn't. He said he wasn't pulling a hustle. It's a deeper form. It's the more authentic form of being true to yourself. Not I'm healing, so I'll be patient and tolerant. Be who the fuck you are. So he said, I walked in, and I skipped a word. I realize in the story right now. He said, Rick, because I would cry and yell about, like, when people would pull me aside and say, you're a leader, or they would call me freak in comedy. And I would cry to them because I was so naive. I said, I don't want to be called a freak. I want to have friends. And he said, let me tell you something, Rick. You're a leader, and you don't know it. That's a hard place. And he goes, I said, I don't want to be a leader. I don't. I want to do 4 jokes, get money, and go home. And he said, let me tell you a story. He goes, and that's when he saw that I was this, and I was a member of that, member of that. And now I get called in by huge corporations for a lot of money, and they want me to, you know, analyze the consumer mind and what people buy and their psychology and all that, and why they buy. And so it would always be almost the same scenario. The 4 top guys of the agency, these old men, would be stuffy, in other words, stuffy old men would come out with their suits, and he said, and they look at me in my wrinkled clothes, I said, you never wore suits or anything? He goes, no, I just wear what I wear now. And he had this simple way of being that I almost told him. You know when a person's an example that opens you up? Mm. Just by their walking by, probably Gandhi or something. But his way just was so ineffective. He was like, you know, like, he would just do this. That's him. All right, so he said, they come out and they go, you're Martin's disabled? They look me up and down and they would say, do you have any more references? And I don't need to give more references. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, before I do that, can I just look at your boardroom for a second? And they go, what? He goes, just for a second, I just want to look at your boardroom. They go, I guess. And they let me in, and I come out, I count to 10. He'd be like, under a minute, I come out, and I tell them the same thing every corporation. You don't want me. I'm a loose cannon. Believe me, you don't want to work with me. You want your ideas, and you're doing great. You're a big, rich company. Again, he'd be like, "I'm too much I guess I'm a hot." He did it better the way he described. He goes, "You don't want me. I'm a hothead," and they were. He goes, "I could see their mouths watering." He'd go into the room. And they say, "Excuse me for a second." I would say 8 words, Rick, about myself. And they come out with a check after 2 minutes in that room, and it's I think he said it was like 25 grand or something, and even more most of the times. But I told you the story better, because he would say, I go and look, I come up, and like, you don't want me, I'm a loose cannon. That was such a great moment to tell someone, you don't want me.
I think also
he's calling them, like, you're a tiny shrimp. You're old men who have semen crust around your dick. No girls won't want you. You did the best, you were kings of anthills pissed on by 6-year-old boys, and you're fucking great. I'm not. I don't have that kind of greatness. That's what he's saying. I don't have that. He's saying everyone's great. I don't have that kind of greatness. I'm a hothead. You don't want me.
Right.
Meanwhile, they're so attracted to him, you know?
Yeah.
It's fucking great. It didn't seem like a con. It seemed like he knew. He knows, bottom line, who's what. You know? Like, he wasn't pulling a con. He wasn't saying, like, hey, you know what? You don't want me. He was like, you don't want me.
Right.
That's gorgeous. Like when I was on HBO, and they go like, Louis said, don't riff yet, because they said your character's too dangerous and you get fired, and they're your boss. And I looked at him, blurred out of my mouth. I go, HBO ain't my boss. And to the undiscriminating eye, or non-discerning eye, they are your boss. Anybody with any normal thing. But I said, no, they ain't my boss. The street was my boss. I was my boss. I survived in the street. They ain't my boss. Some guy with a powder on his stomach, expensive talcum powder, is going to tell me whether I can have an inspired mind or not and take a goddamn risk. You know, it's true. It's like, who's boss? How can I define who your fucking boss is?
It's like, you got to be
so... Let me deliver. Let me have trust.
Right. You gotta be your own boss and then be such a fucking bad motherfucker that they come to you with a check going, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ask you for references. Do you want more
money? They'll
never
get like that. They'll be like, they know how to do him too. Like, here's your check. They do not want apology. Right. They were like, here's your check. We'd be proud to have it. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, it's almost in this world, nobody gets to be completely the boss or completely the slave in that realm where people are striving, I guess, yeah. for lack of a better word. You know, you're, you know, like, it's fucking great. Unless you're David Howard Zuckerman or Scott Tony Riddle Tits. I love Tom Cruise. I want him in all my movies. I'm Scott Riddle Tits. I want to put his penis in an airplane. I love the word penis instead of cock. Take the word cock out of the white man's vernacular.
Your penis is more, it sounds like a taste. Yeah, it's almost like between the Salieri and Mozart example. Like
these, sounds like a taste.
These rich people, you know, who have all the money, almost know, especially if they were given it, if they were, like, born into money or something like this, no matter what happens, they go through their whole life kind of knowing that they didn't earn their position, and they seek authentic people who actually had to get character the hard way by hard work, so they have, like, character in their heart, in their personality. Then it's like you kind of can make those people insecure and they pay money to have you around or whatever, you know? It's like that con of being the artist who, like, can speak to God or can speak to the muses in a way that people with too much money can't, because life is too easy for them.
They're people, like, used to hire me, would come to a 3-hour show I did, and these rich people would pay me some good money, and I was their toy. I would go there and be like, you know, I don't feel like they're really... Oh, wait, just once I thought about that, where I said, I'm like doing the inspired man, marionette.
What, they hired you for a party to just show up to their party and talk to people?
No, I would perform, do my set, or do my 3-hour show, you know, I would go on and on. But they would be in restaurants where people were facing the wall, you know, like there's one against the wall, so there was like 50 people with their backs to me, not even looking at me, just eating, talking to each other, but it was good enough that they, to them. We're hiring the best, most inspired guy,
right?
And we're not going to watch,
right?
And I was running around the room doing these bits, and I was almost pulling guys' hair, like I was jumping in between their faces. I was like, "This is awful," but isn't that funny? Like, you know, it's funny talking to you inspires so many realms of thought. I'm so sick of cliche, beautiful expressions. What I mean is, oh, that's funny. Whenever people go like, character, hard work builds character, I go like, am I a hard worker? And everybody tells me I am, but I go like, well, I used to be blue collar, you know, I was like, I worked, to me that's working hard. But now I realize, this great writer I know, phenomenal writer, won all the awards and everything, and the money, she says she labors over words. I said, that's what I'm doing now. I don't like realm of thought. That's too easy now. I want to labor over words, so that's my hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Took me 50 years to be able to justify. And so it's not realm of thought. Talking to you inspires a thing you don't need to define. You can't define it. Just allowing the brain to have its viscera. The guts of a brain. You want to go further. You want to use the muscle, not put the muscle on a chest machine and do reps. You want the muscle to go out and live like by hiking because you got dropped there by accident. You know, you didn't plan on hiking, maybe even plane crash. Yeah, that's what happens with comedy. Your life crashes, you do comedy. A lot of guys I know.
Yeah. I remember.
People complain to me, like, I'm losing my job. There were comedians. I'd be like, you're a comedian. Every comedian loses their job. Every comedian, when I used to watch Johnny Carson shit, Jim Carrey, Michael Keaton, who, you know, arguably was great. They said they would have jobs and always get fired. It's like, you're a comedian. You're supposed to make fun of every situation until you get kicked out.
Yeah. I remember, but...
But that's in the world, too. Like, yeah. You have a great way of grasping a specific and responding, so it inspires me, because I don't have these talks in L.A. That's why every morsel of word I fucking want. Every morsel of thought. I'm in L.A. where they swallow the sun. That's all that's in Sun's Island.
We're East Coasters. We're smarter. That's just what it is.
Yeah, it worked out that way.
From New Jersey. But you paid me a really nice compliment that I was really thinking about yesterday. You go, hey, man, I miss talking to you. You know, I just miss your mind. That was really sweet, like, coming from you, you know? Like, yeah, I look at you as a total original.
That's nice. You know you are, right? You're the first guy. It's really funny. Every comedian I've ever met, except the guys I started with, like Louie and Dave and Jimmy and all them. You don't have to edit this part out, but Louie and Dave. So edit the part Jimmy out so he doesn't know. Because he used to do Colin Quinn when he started. But I was like Kinison or not Kinison, but David Dennis Leary, who was
awful.
You're
saying the first 2 years that Norton was doing comedy, he was doing Colin Quinn?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would
well,
totally
he's trying.
No, yeah. No, Jimmy was great. He had an honesty from day one.
Well, you know, he
he's
didn't...
He's not like these other guys. He's completely not.
Did Colin take him under his wing and, like, train him? Well, you know.
No. Eventually if I train him, I'd be like, you don't beat me, please.
Yeah.
And I would cut him off each time he was me.
He must have just admired him so much. I wouldn't blame
him. Yeah,
Jimmy
we all have our... No, I think Jimmy did it not out of thievery. I think he had an issue that fed his comedy. It was great that he did Colin Quinn.
Yeah.
It was so genuine who he was that you saw him acting like an adult. You know, a boy who wanted to be as funny as his hero.
Yeah.
He wasn't a guy trying to swipe a guy's way. Like, or not knowing. It was a guy who loved comedy and the comedic, and Colin Quinn made him want to do comedy,
I think.
Yeah. Or he just connected with it.
But you were saying you remind me of...
You remind me of, I was going to say, like... I wanted to say every comic I ever met, except the guys I started with. They're so brainwashed into acting like... They don't realize they're all acting like the comic that got rich in the last... The most recent one.
Oh, okay.
And you're the only guy I met who refuses to be a dickhead. Unless you want... No, you refuse to be a what do I mean? You weren't born with half your head bashing against the wall. You didn't come shooting out of the womb and hit the garage door. I don't know how to say it. You trust, you like your mind. You don't say it's in the way, so how do you do comedy? You like your mind. And that's what's missing. That's what's missing even with me. I love my mind, but after doing so many comedy clubs or short sets, I would take the smartest stuff out. I mean, my friends go, don't be hard on yourself. You learned, you got your legs. I don't know. I want to stop and just hear what's in the room.
It is crazy just for me doing so many shows and bombing so many times and then doing amazing so many times and then bombing again and doing amazing again, you know, and feeling like these people love me. Like, you know, I think we both did really well at the Howlin' Wolf last Thursday.
Yeah.
That was a really good show, you know. And it's like you have these moments where you're picked up and dropped off. And for me, lately, I've been really consciously not going up and down with those flows, you know, where it's like I know I'm doing the work, so I'm not gonna hate myself after I bomb or love myself so much after I, you know, kill, because, you know, are you okay?
It happened last night too.
Just have like an asthma attack.
That's what the front desk guy says. Is this an asthma attack? Can you get asthma at a later age?
Maybe. Yeah, you might need one of those inhaler things.
Maybe that's why every therapist tries to teach me how to breathe.
Oh. Do you know about those inhaler things? You go...
Yeah.
And then it like opens your lungs up.
You gotta see the doctor?
Yeah.
That might help me. That may be why I'm having anxiety that's not released. I have asthma.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't suffocate.
It just kind of comes out.
You're taking it out.
I get like that around my sister's cat, though. I'm like,
yeah,
allergic
it's probably
to
an allergy.
Cats.
It's an allergy. Yeah, I'm allergic to cleaning fluid, which is true. What do? I gotta ask him for another hotel or something.
Yeah, but what are you gonna be like? Hey, can you give me a hotel room that you didn't clean in a while? So it doesn't have all this fucking cleaning liquid around.
No,
yeah, give me a real dirty hotel room.
I could tell him, take me off the hotel, let me stay with Citizens of Lemon. Because they'll be like, they got a good deal putting all the actors up here.
Right. Yeah.
What did you mean pick yourself and drop off? You mean going up the ups and downs?
Yeah, like, you know, like that's if you kill, thing. Like feeling great about yourself, but like in a manic way where you start to be like, oh, wow, now I can take over the world. Now I can do. And then when you go down, when you bomb terribly, you'd be like, oh, my life is over. My life is over. You know what I mean?
I've learned to. I've always thought I was a screw up. So I said, I'm supposed to bomb.
Yeah.
Really? I was like, this is what. And I walk out like, that's what happened to me, man.
Because I suck. Yeah.
Yeah. But I always listen to the compliments from the comedians. Like today, all the extras weren't there.
Right.
And I realized that I didn't get a response after my words because it wasn't about. And I went like, I must suck. And then I walked by this one actor, New York actor I respect, and he goes like, holy shit, man. You're living that shit. You're this older guy. He goes like, you're living that shit. He goes, I can't do what you do. I'm like, I was just enjoying a fight.
Right, right.
What am I supposed to do, act? I was like, I was so into it, I forgot my lines. And because I said, they're all watching him, like go,
they're
go,
watching
George.
A boxing fight, you know. And
the pretty boys were all like, go, George, go. Well, watch out, watch it. And I was like, come on, man, come on. Like, fucking you. Like, my whole thing is I wanted to tell George, and she said, I'm going to have a chance. I wanted to be like, are you not men? Do you want to die in here? Like a piece of shit in jail? Right. I mean, all we got to do is tell the goddamn truth. If we care about each other, my job is to tell you, you want to be a deadweight comedian your whole goddamn life? Or you want to try to live for the burn, like burn a word through the fucking, burn a fucking word, you know? Fuck. I used to get ladies in New York every night, mm-hmm. you know? My friend, my PJ would say, when I had a new friend, he'd be like, did he give you the Rick talk yet? Where if somebody was full of shit, I would look at him and go like, no. And my brother would be like, he's aiming the gun. And I said, when they go like, no, the truth is, I have time. I'm patient about my career.
Right, right.
And
right.
I go like, anything that sounded like from the nose, like, I feel, and I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
And be like, no, I do, Rick. I said, no, it's something else. Like in L.A., I did a radio show, and the guy goes, he talks in a sing-song everyday voice, and he says every word, like if it was, whatever word is hip now. Like, he was hilarious. And now I'm getting a little bit crazy, right, Rick? And I'd be like, so let me ask you, and he's the sweetest guy. He's a friend of mine now. He's the sweetest fucking guy. He's the most loving motherfucker. And I looked at him, and he goes like, so I went like, I learned to talk in a sing. One therapist told me, if you stutter, talk in a sing-song voice. So you don't say that. I'm supposed to talk to you like this. And I realize I look on TV or whatever, people have a conversation, and they all know how to talk it and make it wrapped up nice. And then everybody talks like that. But I won't. Mm. So here's the deal. I said to him, he was telling me, like, you know, I just have a good time with life, and I feel like I give people the ability for them to feel good about themselves. I'll massage them a little bit. I'll give them the word they need to hear. I'll be like, so can I ask them, do you ever feel like a phony? I just want to isolate the question without it being perversal. Do you ever feel like a phony? He goes like, oh, yeah. I said, well, before you, so you feel, you at times feel like a phony. He goes, yeah, I do. I can admit that. I said, well, would you like to have a moment right now of not being phony? Would you like to choose that right now, and whatever your response will be to either this question or the next? Would you like to just be not phony now? And he goes, okay, I would love that. I said, well, you're not doing it. You can do it. I'm here. I'm right here with you. And then he goes, the reason I talk with a facade, Rick, I know it's a facade. When I was, this is my friend, when I was, and he wasn't my friend at the time. He goes, when I was like 9 years old or something, his father was abusing his brother, hitting him, and his brother pushed his father down a flight of steps, and the father died when he was 9. He said, so to keep it together, I pick up, it was so cool of him to say, I pick up every slogan the society uses, every word, I study comedians, I pick up their jargon, you know, the UCB, all the comedians that made it. So he picks up all the mediocre guys and learns to say, hilarious, like UCB.
Wow.
UCB starts all the bad shit. All that crap. They started the word hilarious, and I'm a little crazy. You know, like when comedians would try to sound like me, they would talk loud, and then they go like this on, I see. I'm, now I'm going a little crazy because they think that relaxes the audience, and your audience thinks they're relaxed. They go like, ha ha. But first, when you're doing a rant or something, they go, and then afterwards, they have to mock it. Like, sorry, I went off. But they don't realize if you don't say that, the audience gets taken to a further place.
Right.
But if you do that, the whole world's crazy if they're not acting sane.
You're qualifying it. You're going, oh, that previous behavior was because I was crazy, so it's okay now because I'm self-aware.
Yeah.
That's crazy, though, that your friend said that he takes from society and just paints a personality into his vernacular.
One day he was in my house. Yeah. One day he was in my house, and I couldn't stand up. It was the first time I ever got irritated by his voice. And I look forward to him when he comes over because we have a great time. He's all love. And he talked that sing-song voice to Tracy so much, I told him to leave. I said, I can't handle this. And he was like, that's okay, I have to go anyway. I said, no, I love you, just not today, man. I can't, I don't know what's going on here. And I would walk by because of the Parkinson's. I have a hard time putting on my socks. And I go like, so I'd be like, I got so mad. I go, fuck, I have to yell fuck to put my clothes on. And instead I went, bullshit, bullshit, you're bullshit. And that's when I went out. I said, I said something like, I can't take this. I said, I don't feel good. I don't think I asked him to leave. I may have. Tracy will point out that I usually do that. But because I'm a hero. I'm a humble hero.
Yeah, but it's like you kind of understand why he's doing it now.
He had the balls to express it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so you kind of have empathy, so you're not like mad when you're telling him to leave, but it's like, no, you're acting like a phony asshole, and nothing you say is authentic. So
isn't it funny?
Even though I know why.
Yeah. But he could slip in and out so easily, and then he told me one night,
wow.
He goes, I tell people, because he goes, I go to comedians, he loves the famous ones, he's a real groupie, right. So when I'm at a comedy store or something, and he'll see somebody, and he's like, you know him?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, he told me one time, he goes, I try to tell people what they want to hear. It gives them an opportunity to feel relaxed around me, and that also makes them think they know me. I'll go up to them, act like I know them, so they'll be relaxed about me. I say something. I say, like, why can't you just say what you mean? Don't you think guys who really made it or really worked hard with their own truth would catch that in a second and not want you around? So you'll be around guys that don't inspire you, guys that don't care about you. They believe, if somebody believes you, they're probably full of shit. I ask, but because I believe them, but then I don't. But then I watch him, and I say, you're in L.A. Like, when I was on the set today, there was a new guy from New York doing a scene, and it was, I realized I'm so hungry for some kind of authenticity in L.A. that if you have three quarters of it, I'm yours.
Mm-hmm.
Which is annoying. That's where we can talk and do this all night.
Right.
I wonder what it is about you, because it's like I want to say, no, he's like those other wanks at the store in the belly room. They think they're so hot. Like, they swag around because they're at the bed, you know what I mean?
Right.
Which is good. I'm glad that it's nice to see guys have comments who are good. But it's so funny how it's just, I want to call you a drip. And you're not. I automatically assume, because it's a comedy store, that you're a drip.
Right.
And you're the only guy who's using his mind. I think you're the only one. Even that guy, the tall guy, Ari Shafir's brother. He thinks he's using his mind. Finally, I yelled, he was full of shit. You know what he did? He goes, Rick, what, that was shit we just did. In front of everyone, he'll pick on the comic in the room because he doesn't have material. So he goes, that was full of shit. No, Rick was awful. He's all, and I turned around and said, I'm not like these other. I said, you're a fucking scumbag. You're so goddamn phony. All you do is say the same sentence over and over. You suck, he sucks. And he goes, all of a sudden he kicked into a mode, like a childhood thing. An issue. He goes, I went to, whatever. I went to Barnard for chemistry. I went to Harvard for physical science. I went here for. I said, are you giving your college? Am I your am I your mommy?
Right.
And he looked at me stunned, like he was actually went off, and talked about his degrees. He wasn't the rebel on stage.
Right. Then he was trying to like get square credentials.
Yeah, he fell
in a street fight.
Yeah, it was like a disorder. DID, a disassociation he had.
Right. Speaking of dissociation, when you were describing that other comic who like paints a personality on himself from pop culture, it's like, wow, it boggles my mind because he's not like in his body being himself. He's above his body playing a video game going, if I say this, that'll gain me this many social points and then he'll trust me. So then I will enact this maneuver.
Oh, you know what's funny about that? You bring that up. A good friend of mine, Jason LaCour, was one of the great minds who stopped doing comedy. He would never believe him, but he goes, do you realize the truth is we are all in somebody's video game? And I would be like, no. He goes, Rick, think about it. He goes, I actually believe we are. Like, there's someone, we're made of pixels.
Right, right.
And that's true. You just said it as a video game. So it's like the Matrix, I guess. But what if I would like to try to imagine that, because I fought it. I was like, no, no. He goes, no, but that street around the corner doesn't exist until you go there. And he's so convincing. I'd say, well, there are cars on that street right now.
Right, right.
But he would say, you don't know that.
Oh. Everyone's just running a simulation into their own head.
Like a guy, he goes, right now, a guy's making your dog jump off a chair so that you would have a reaction to your dog. But they're so lacking. It's, what, you could figure that out because you're more of a discerning mind. I always loved passionate minds that I would believe them.
Right. You know, I'm into the idea that everyone is like running their own software. That's like their personality, their software. And if you confront somebody about their bullshit or whatever, you can see their software glitch. You know, like if your computer is like fucked up for a minute or it has a frozen screen, and then they're like, but my degrees, but my achievements, but I could do 75 push-ups. It's like, what does that have to do with,
so funny.
With what you're saying?
It's so funny, man. How do you do that? I do it too, but I mean, like, I have to make sure I don't dissociate and disappear giving you compliments. Nobody's that cool. Nobody. I've met anybody who can think like that.
Well,
you're some kind of a force.
Thanks.
That's nice. I mean, you think I blow smoke up? Yeah, I do. If you suck, I'll tell you you're great.
Well,
it's LA and I want you off my shoulder. I don't tell you if I say something twice, like you're great, or that last joke,
right,
means
right.
I'm lying. If I ever say anything to you twice, I'm lying.
Yeah, it's been really fun to hang out with you. You know, like over the last couple of days, we've become pretty good friends.
It's weird, right away.
Yeah, we were just like, hey, let's have lunch or whatever. I even forget what the first thing we did, but ever since we keep on going like, are you done working? Do you want to hang out?
Yeah.
It's been fun.
I think we spent our time helping find me food.
Probably.
They don't
have any fucking vegetables here. Yeah, well, everything's boiled in butter in Louisiana. It's hard to get a fucking vegetable. But, all right, man. I'll let you go. I think you need to sleep, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to do some martial arts tomorrow morning? How early? What if I grabbed you at, like, 11:30? Would that be too early tomorrow?
11:30, 12:30, 1:30. No, that'd be good.
Maybe like 11:30
or 12.
The
weird thing is, for my body, I hate it, but I need to lift weights or do a lot of direct punching for like three rounds, and then we do the kickboxing. I need to. I don't like weights, but I love to hit things over and over and over and over. Like hold your palms hard. And
right.
Is that cool?
Yeah, let's do that. All right, buddy. I'll see.
And
you
then we'll do some Muay Thai.
Okay.
Because I practiced it today while I was watching them fight. I would go and...
Like this, and then the knee that's...
Yeah, I didn't do that, but I remembered was... I practiced in my boots. I can do the twirl on the toe.
Okay, yeah, spin on your toe for your kicks.
Yeah, twirl. toe twirls.
All right, this has been another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. With my main buddy, Rick Shapiro.
Yeah, and you my main buddy, Eric.
All right.
Yeah, and it's funny how profound we were. We ended the last thing about the vegetables. So if you know where there's any broccoli, I'm still human. You know, we're both still human.
Yeah. Bring some broccoli to the Maison Hotel. Yeah. Rick Shapiro needs it. Just leave it at the front desk. It's a sad day when your favorite porn star's asshole starts to go, right? Oh, sure. When she first hits Pornhub, it's like a chocolate starfish, all tight, puckered up, full of dreams and hopes for the future. Big Hollywood dreams. But just like a horse that's ridden too long, its back starts to curve. You know what I mean? Eventually, it's not holding stool anymore. And she leaves Pornhub in shame.
And then a new asshole hits Pornhub, and the cycle continues. Right about what you know, ladies and gentlemen. Did a lot of research. Winning them back. Winning them back. Texas Milfis. Dusting it off for me right now. It's good. So there's a lot of ghosts in the French Quarter, right? And a lot of people in the French Quarter are very rich, right? So they're adding new additions to their haunted houses. Even the ghosts are getting gentrified, you know? They're just going around, boo! Oh, these are nice! These new countertops? I think I'll just haunt around here now. Oh my God, is this a dishwasher? Oh my God, when I have a party, it'll be so easy to clean. Ghosts are gentrified. It's taking over. Rent's going up. In the afterlife, too, you know? It's hard for everybody.